American science fiction writer Casey Cole once said, "One person's data is another person's noise." Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to a noisy episode of Fish Fry. Hi, I'm Amelia Dalton, host of this here longstanding podcast on eejournal.com called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. Now, this week we're talking about noisy neurons, cough signatures, and how we can all help AI better understand COVID-19. So, let's start with those noisy neurons. Did you know that Alzheimer's disease is one of the only top 10 causes of death that cannot be prevented, cured, or even slowed? And that there is an estimated 5.7 million Americans living with Alzheimer's disease today. So there's a good chance that you or someone you know has come into contact with this awful disease. I myself lost my grandmother Mac to Alzheimer's disease. So at the heart of Alzheimer's is memory recall, or the loss of it. Now, the area of the brain that is most in charge of the creation of memories is the hippocampus. It builds networks of neurons in order to encode experiences into memories. And with Alzheimer's disease, the hippocampus is normally one of the first areas of the brain to be damaged. Now, it was previously believed that Alzheimer's actually damaged our neurons so that they couldn't be activated any longer, and that the memories held by them were long gone. But some new research from a team at the German Center of Neurodegenerative Diseases says no. Those memories aren't gone. They're just being drowned out by the noise of other neurons. Now, how did they observe these neuron issues? With the help of a two-photon in vivo microscopy and two groups of mice, one with an Alzheimer's-like pathology and one without. The team immediately noticed differences in the activities of the neurons in both sets of mice. The mice that had the Alzheimer's pathology were actually remembering the set of experiences that the team had set out in the previous days. But that signal was actually being blocked by other neurons. And those other neurons were encoding those experiences as novel, not as memories. Okay, so think of this novel versus memory as kind of a signal disturbance. Martin Furman, lead researcher on the study, puts it like this. It's like a noisy TV signal. The picture becomes diffused and distorted. You might even see pixels or stripes. Something similar happened inside the mice's brain. Interfering signals suppressed those memories. This disturbance is obviously a result of pathological changes in the brain. Okay, so this is sounding good, right? Noisy neurons are bad. But what comes next is incredible. After observing these unique changes, this team then used a technique called chemogenics to control these neurons in both the diseased mice and the healthy mice. And get this, they found that they were able to create new experience-encoding neurons in both sets of mice that responded to a very specific molecule. And by creating these new neurons, they were able to switch on the noisy neurons in the healthy mice and switch them off in the Alzheimer's-like mice. Furman goes on to say that imagining future therapies, we might be able to rescue memories of individuals suffering from Alzheimer's disease or other diseases impacting memory recall. Furthermore, it could be possibly helpful for individuals suffering from post-traumatic stress disorders. Here, noise-inducing neurons could be artificially activated to interfere with the traumatic memory aiming to overwrite it. Wow. So if you want any further information about this noisy neuron study, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Go check it out. And now it's time for a completely different kind of noise. Coughs. Chris Rogers, CEO of Sensimal, joins me this week, and we talk about how Sensimal and a team of technology companies are coming together to create a health monitoring solution to help the fight against COVID-19 using AI. Hi, Chris. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. Great. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so first off, what is SensiML all about?
Well, so SensiML is an IoT developer tools company that specializes in automated machine learning code for edge device sensor applications. That's kind of a lot in one sentence, so I can unpack that a bit. We provide tools that help IoT developers that build wearable devices, industrial embedded systems, commercial automation systems, consumer IoT devices, create accurate sensor algorithms that take raw sensor data and turn it into whatever insights for a particular application have meaning, but directly at the embedded endpoint, not relying on the cloud and not using some other device like an edge server, a gateway, or a smartphone. So, you know, when you hear companies talk about enabling AI at the edge, we take this to the extreme by auto-generating algorithms that execute on the microcontrollers commonly used at the physical sensors themselves, right where the real world meets the electronic world and the physical measurement is taking place. And further, we make the capability available not just to those who are experts in AI, but also to embedded developers at large who are not necessarily data science experts by using what's known as AutoML, which uses AI to help build the machine learning code itself.
Fantastic. Now, you guys and a consortium of other US-based technology companies have just announced a health monitoring solution to help fight COVID-19. Now, this solution uses AI, and it's all about early detection of physical symptoms and the identification of cough sounds. So, Chris, tell me more about this tool and how exactly AI is involved.
Yeah, so absolutely. Given the extent and impact of COVID-19, is we're seeing all kinds of different companies working outside their traditional sectors, coming together and providing innovative solutions for different areas. I mean, the automakers building ventilators, for instance, is one example. Yeah, that's kind of where we fall. Through our contacts and business associates and existing customer base, we came to learn of this opportunity to apply AI to help solve this problem of how do you screen for COVID-19. So while our business is predominantly focused in industrial and commercial IoT sensor processing, we look at vibration, motion, pressure, and audio data as time series data streams, regardless of the application type. So when this opportunity was brought to us and the sort of hypothesis that you could take cough data and deduce or predict for positive COVID-19 based on the quality of the cough signal itself, it piqued our interest. That led to further investigation and introduction to some of the academic researchers who had done the early research on this. So they were looking at what turns out to be a strong correlation between the acoustic signatures and the cough sounds and testing positive with valid clinical tests. In one sense, intuitively, that kind of makes sense, right? Because you think about when you go to a doctor with something like bronchitis or pneumonia, you know, the doctor himself, as a respiratory expert, can diagnose those kinds of things just using the stethoscope, which is, you know, basically another audio sensor where they're listening for the respiratory sounds as, you know, sort of a pre-indicator before getting more involved with using things like X-ray imaging to know for sure. We're doing much the same thing here, right? Although with the cough sounds, we can do that with an ordinary microphone, as you might find on a smartphone. So this is a pretty exciting application. Our expertise actually is not in the medical aspects of it. It's in the AI and edge processing so that we can take that cough sampled signal and give you a very quick answer without having to shuttle that data to the cloud and doing analysis over the network.
Absolutely, Chris. This is super cool. Now, this tool is part of a bigger platform, right? What else is included in the platform?
Yeah, obviously the cough acoustic analysis is an interesting new angle, but there are also additional sensors that are more well-known. Obviously, everyone's familiar with is temperature scanning. That's probably the best method currently in use is scanning for people that have elevated temperature, but pulse oximetry, respiration rates, and other biosensors can contribute insight. So the notion that we can build an AI ensemble model that has better predictive outcomes than just temperature scanning, really can benefit most from a combination of sensor types. So the solution that we envision here would record and analyze the cough sound as sampled from a microphone, but it can additionally provide temperature from another measurement from our partner Skywater Technology. They've developed a low-cost NFC skin patch that can provide a rapid temperature measurement from a skin-worn adhesive patch that's kind of like a Band-Aid. So you can imagine like inpatient healthcare facilities or nursing home residents or shift workers at high-risk workplaces that are, you know, trying to implement safe go-back-to-work practices. All of those are great cases for a need for a quick, non-invasive scanning that can give high-accuracy results.
So you mentioned one other of the partners. Tell me more about the partners all involved in this project.
Yeah, sure. We've got some great partners in this overall consortium that's putting this together, one of which is a company called Upward Health. They are a home-based medical group specializing in primary medical and behavioral care for individuals that have complex or high-risk needs. So as such, they diagnose, treat, and prescribe in patients' own home settings in many cases, and have access to high-risk populations that have, in many cases, comorbid respiratory diseases as well. So as a valued contributor to this, Upward Health provides two important things. One is they've got invaluable access to data sets for those high-risk individuals that will help provide a richer model that can really address some of the corner cases in some of those high-risk individuals with multiple conditions. And second, as a partner that's capable of getting such a solution into the hands of the people who need it most, Upward Health is, you know, right where they need to be able to provide that kind of a solution. Another key partner, Skywater, I mentioned, they are a semiconductor technology foundry who puts together innovation solutions on behalf of customers. They were chosen by an investment firm, Asymmetric Return Capital, or ARC Group, as they're shortly known, and a company called Linear ASICs, who's a fabless mixed signal semiconductor company, to manufacture and productize this high volume NFC microchip, which is the Band-Aid that can do rapid temperature scanning. It's a disposable, low cost wireless patch that can provide not just a static temperature reading, but temperature trending over time. So this can be a very valuable additional sensor input into the AI model. Additionally, we have AI for COVID-19, which is a startup led by the academic research of Dr. Ali Imran out of University of Oklahoma, who did some of the initial critical first published studies on the use of cough acoustics for AI. So his firm, AI for COVID-19, is also involved in the project as well.
Excellent. Now, Chris, one of the most important parts of this is data collection, right? So tell me more about this part of the approach and how my audience can help.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to mention this piece as well. So, you know, as we know, the biggest challenge we have with the pandemic is time. Economies are under tremendous pressure to reopen. Given all the collateral impacts of stay-at-home measures, you know, it's making life difficult and making us challenged in terms of being able to do what we need to do in our daily lives, right? So the sort of typical approaches to data collection really sort of beg for something that can move quicker while at the same time providing the level of assuredness that we're looking for. So what we have invoked as a parallel data collection effort to the data sets we're getting through the consortium members is a crowdsourced approach to capturing data sets from the public at large. So the way this works is that we're asking individuals who are interested in participating to provide their own labeled cough data samples using a simple web app that sort of walks them step by step through the process. And the whole thing isn't designed from the outset to be completely anonymous, unidentifiable. So none of any personal data is included in the aggregated results that come out of this effort. By going to sensimal.com/COVID-19, your listeners can see the details of our data collection project, the privacy terms, decide if they wish to take part. We just only ask that the participants be those who are U.S. residents of legal age of consent to participate in this. But the goal really is that we can rapidly collect, we expect will probably be just a lot of additional cases of, you know, perfectly healthy individuals who don't have COVID-19, which is an important point. You don't have to be afflicted with the actual disease or have tested positive, because part of building a robust model is having negative cases as inputs into the model. So eagerly looking for broad data set across a cross section of individuals.
That is super cool, Chris, and you can count on my input. All right.
Awesome.
Well, I think that's all I have time for, but before we go, it's time for a little off the cuff. Now, Chris, a lot of things are shut down these days. A lot of people can't go to their favorite restaurants or have their favorite food. But if you could have one meal right now, doesn't matter what country it's from, what restaurant it's from, wherever, what would it be?
Oh, that's easy. It would be Italian food. I love Mediterranean. I'm deeply saddened that I can't make my every once in a while trips to Italy to have the real deal. Right? As a kid, I lived in Sardinia because my father was military. So we spent a couple of years on the island, and that's where I acquired a real taste for good, authentic pizza, Italian style. And so if I could have the one thing, I think it would be a real pizza.
And that sounds absolutely wonderful. Well, Chris, I think that's all I have time for. Thank you so much for joining me. It was a very special opportunity to have you on My Fish Fry.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. And 1, 2, 3. We'll go ahead and stop the recording. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EE Journal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out Amelia D. 1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. We also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can check out the extensive Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via Podbean, Spotify, or the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or heck, you just want to chat, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of June 12th, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.